Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 8:51 British Summer Time. Today is April 9th. Well, yesterday I was talking about the need in China for some easing of inflationary fears and potential anything that could help the banking sector. And inflation has moderated in China, going by the most recent announcements. So that's quite positive. But the stock market didn't really react today. The bank sector has been pretty much unchanged for the last five or six sessions. And the A shares were stronger today, but not in a dynamic fashion. And they do need to break the what is now a seven-week progression of lower rally highs to confirm that support is returning beyond the short term in the region of the 200-day moving average. The yen today got down, as far as 99.66 against the US dollar. And 100 yen to the dollar is a psychological level. And it's not at all surprising that we see some form of consolidation in this region. But the medium-term outlook continues to support the proposition that the yen will weaken beyond 100 yen to the dollar, and potentially quite a bit more than that. That remains a tailwind for the stock market over the medium term, but in the short term it is a little bit overbought, and there is the potential that we see some consolidation of what have been very powerful gains in the last week. The Hang Seng was stronger today by about 0.7%, and the ASEAN region was pretty mixed. The Taiwan market was quite weak, and so was its banking sector. And the a number of other Asian markets are worthy of mention, not least the Singapore market. The STI index is pretty close to breaking out of this range, and Singapore banks in particular are really quite firm in here. And of course, Singapore is a market that has really positioned itself to become the banking and private banking sector and asset management sector for Asia. And as per capita income increases and the ranks of those in the disposable income class rise, then what starts out as a widespread demand for low-value items and moves into higher-value items and consumer goods, sporting goods, entertainment. But when people have reached a certain level in terms of their per capita GDP, then services start to grow. And Singapore is very well positioned in terms of banking and financial services to benefit from demand for these higher-value services as per capita incomes rise right across the Asian region. And there's no surprise then that the banking sector is particularly firm within Singapore. In Europe today, stock markets were a bit firmer, but again not in a dynamic fashion. And the weakness that we've seen in Europe, and we've certainly seen some steadying in the last few days, but really not in a dynamic fashion. And there hasn't really been anything to confirm that support has come back in here in a meaningful way. And we need to see particularly the banking sector do substantially better than it has been doing to really allay fears that this isn't anything more than a dead cat bounce. So Europe really does remain the focus of concern. And on Wall Street, the economic outlook for the US continues to improve. And the most recent, or the statistics du jour today, was that job openings are at, I think, a five-year high. So that suggests that the US has is one of the better performing economic regions. And Wall Street has been very much locked in this ranging environment for much of the last month. The S&P, having gone from recovering rather well on Friday to close well off its low and has put in two additional days to the upside, it posted a new high in here today, and I think that was in the region of 1573. The all-time peak is at 1576. So it's not at all surprising that we get a little bit of consolidation here in the region of the peak. And this is also allowing the overbought condition relative to the 200-day moving average to compress. And that reversion to the mean will help to support additional advance in the medium term. When we look at other assets, gold continues to extend its rebound and is closing out the day up about almost $11 and almost $40 off its recent low. And it's at $1,584 at the close. And silver was a bit firmer in here today. It was up 75 cents. And palladium continues to hold above the $700 area. And it's closing out the day down a tad, but still at $727. And platinum back up to $1,550. Government bonds generally have rallied very impressively over the last month and are unwinding a short-term overbought condition at present. But we haven't had the kind of clear downward dynamics that would suggest that supply is overarching at this level. And because a number of them have already broken progressions of lower rally highs, then they'll have to deteriorate a bit more than they already have done to suggest that this rally has ended in here. So when we look at the bigger picture, the corrective phase that we've been speaking about at Fuller Money since the end of January is rather different to the types of corrective phases that we've been presented with over the last 4 years, not least because the synchronicity between markets has broken down almost completely. And the US has been a tower of strength and has really been range-bound for and actually being able to push on to new highs in a number of the indices cases over the last couple of months, whereas Europe is pretty much down up for the year on a number of those markets. And the ASEAN region has moved into more of a corrective phase in the last month, but is still also among the better performing regions. Japan is overbought in the short term, but this is really quite an interesting environment, particularly what happened with JGBs last week. What is interesting, and I've posted the charts in here today, is with the inflation-protected bonds. When we look at what's happened with the UK in terms of the value of the inflation-protected gilts, then yields have compressed and are, I think, if my memory serves me, they're at minus 2.6%, or if not that 2.8%. And that's an incredible value for something that's protecting us against inflation. And of course, it's part of the reason for that is because the Bank of England is quite deliberately courting inflation, and CPI is currently in the region of 2.6 to 3%. So with Japan, the inflation-protected five-year is currently around 1.6%. And there is potential for that to contract even further, since the Bank of Japan has stated at least that it is going to try and achieve a 2% inflation rate. And considering that the yen has fallen by 20% in value over the last couple of months, and there isn't any sign that the Japanese government and the Bank of Japan are anywhere close to finished with this endeavor, it suggests that, and the fact that the Bank of Japan will be doubling its holdings of JGBs, or doubling its purchase rate of them, then this is a very interesting scenario in terms of Japan's bond markets. And when you look at the yield on the 10-year JGB, it was incredibly volatile on Friday, and the yield got down as low as 0.3%. But finished out the day closer to 0.5%, and that represents a massive turnaround intraday, and it continues to hold in the region of a half of 1%, and yields are pushing higher. The fact that the Japanese government is engaged in so actively in the government bond market and is literally printing money, it has really put some fear into bond investors. At least that's what that action would suggest. So while people are buying up inflation-protected JGBs, they are potentially looking at regular JGBs as a potential risk asset. And if they are courting inflation, then they're going to have to buy up a substantial number of those bonds to keep yields from rising. And if yields do rise, that will put the ability of the government to refund itself in jeopardy. So it is a very interesting environment from Japan's debt perspective. And they're really betting that they can foster enough of growth to cover their gap that they're going to create in terms of their bond funding ability. And that's quite a gamble. Stocks are likely to be among the best ways of hedging against that type of risk. And from the perspective of foreign investors, then buying equities and hedging out the currency risk is by far the best way to play it. And I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, and I'll wish all the best to all of you.